Dear listeners, I would like to welcome you to a new episode of Gabriella Group Cyberov Criminal. My name is Heinrich Lichtman, and I am your spokesman for today. Together, we will delve into the dark and fascinating world of one of the most notorious historical figures in criminal history, Elizabeth Bathory, the Blood Countess. In this audiobook, we will delve into their lives, their deeds, and the psychological and social factors that shape their behavior. Immerse yourself with me in a story full of power, horror, and unimaginable secrets. Prepare to unravel the layers of this complex personality and explore the questions that still cast a shadow over her legacy today. Let's begin. Welcome to our podcast about Elizabeth Bathory, one of the most fascinating and at the same time shocking figures in criminal history. Often referred to as the Blood Countess, Elizabeth Bathory coined the idea of violence, power, and female criminality in the 16th century. Their lives and deeds raise profound questions about topics such as power, gender, psychology, and social perception. Born in Transylvania in 1560, she came from a wealthy aristocratic family with an influential position in the nobility. Despite her privileged background, her life was marked by tragedy, control, and ultimately horror. Elizabeth Bathory was accused of capturing young women and cruelly murdering them in order to use their blood for her own youthful endeavors. Over the decades, her name has been associated with stories of torture and murder that have been recorded in both documents and legends. In the following chapters, we will deal with different aspects of their lives and deeds. We analyze their biographical background, build up a perpetrator profile, investigate possible mental illnesses, shed light on society's reactions to their actions, and consider the legal consequences. In addition, we note how the stories about the Blood Countess are anchored in the modern imagination and what lessons can be learned from her life story. On this journey, we will try not only to shed light on a dark chapter of history, but also to understand how Elizabeth Bathory became the complex figure she is today. Chapter 1, Biographical Data. Elizabeth Bathory was born on August 7, 1560 in Transylvania, in the well-established noble Bathory family, which had important political and social connections. Her parents, George von Bathory and Anna Bathory, were high-ranking figures of the Hungarian nobility, which meant that she was confronted with the privileges and also the expectations of the nobility from an early age. The Bathory family had been active in politics for generations, and Elizabeth's upbringing was carried out in a climate of wealth and power. Elizabeth Bathory's early childhood was marked by political and social turmoil. The 16th century was a time of war and instability as the Ottoman Empire continued its expansion in Europe. The constant conflicts affected the living conditions and psychological realities of the people in the region. Elizabeth grew up in this environment and may have experienced traumatic events in her childhood. She reportedly suffered from health problems and experienced family tensions, which were exacerbated by political power struggles. In her early life, Elizabeth received a comprehensive education. She was taught a variety of subjects, including literature, languages, and history, and showed a propensity for creativity and learning from an early age. Her family history and upbringing shaped her identity as a woman in the nobility, who is not only intelligent but also strategic. These factors played a decisive role in her later life and actions. At the age of 15, Elizabeth was married to Ferenc Nagyszti, a respected Hungarian war hero. This marriage represented a strategic alliance that promised both political and social benefits. Nagyszti was known for his brutality in war and had considerable resources that would be of great use to Elizabeth in her later life. The marriage and the status that came with it expanded Elizabeth's influence, but it also led to increased isolation as her husband was often absent in wars. After the death of Ferenc Nagyszti in 1604, Elizabeth became increasingly lonely and seemed to lose contact with the outside world. The isolation in the castle of Cactus, where she had a considerable number of servants and confidants, led her to develop a life of her own, far removed from the norms of her time. Many accounts of her later behavior could be interpreted as a reflection of her emotional and psychological state. Finally, at the end of this chapter, we will deal with the shadow that lay over Elizabeth Bathory's life and that probably led to her cruel acts and the nature of her punishment. Her story is not only that of a crime, but also that of her identity in a time that both respected and feared women. Chapter 2. Perpetrator Profile of Elizabeth Bathory. Elizabeth Bathory is one of the most analyzed and discussed historical figures when it comes to violence in women. In psychology, it is often cited as an example of complex psychopathological factors that influence the behavior of perpetrators. Elizabeth showed many characteristics that could fit a perpetrator profile. Her intelligence was undeniable, as was her ambition and keen sense of control. Reports suggest that she was a strong personality who knew how to influence those around her. But these traits may have manifested themselves in a disturbed relationship with reality and the people around them. Isolation and power were central themes in Elizabeth's life. Her emotional dependence on her husband and the loss of this support may have led to a distorted self-image and sadistic tendencies. After Natasdy's death, she retired to her castle, where she was both mistress and administrator. This control, coupled with her status as a countess, created a dangerous combination that had a lasting impact on her behavior. The relationships Elizabeth built with others, especially her servants and the women she joined, shed further light on her perpetrator profile. Their manipulation and the use of violence as a powerful tool to control those around them are crucial to understanding their actions. The accounts of the atrocities that inevitably resulted from her emotional isolation paint a picture of someone who has blurred the lines between power and abuse. Her relationship with her servant was often marked by fear and loyalty at the same time. Those who did not comply with it were to feel the consequences. The motive behind Elizabeth's brutal acts remains a central topic in the discussion about her psyche. The belief that she needed blood to preserve her youth may have resulted from a deep-rooted fear of decay, loneliness, and ultimately death. This idea reflects such an extreme form of obsession that she lost all compassion for the victims. In the course of the chapter, we will take a closer look at these motifs and discuss the extent to which social and cultural factors contributed to their development. Elizabeth Bathory not only had to deal with the demands of women in the nobility, but also with a deep-rooted pressure to maintain beauty and youthfulness. This toxic combination may have been the driving force behind their actions. Chapter 3. Mental Illnesses. Exploring the mental illnesses that may have affected Elizabeth Bathory is crucial to understanding her actions. Historical reports and diagnoses often deal with the psychological reasons for their behavior. Historians and psychologists have discussed various possible mental illnesses that Elizabeth Bathory may have suffered, including schizophrenia, psychopathy, and sadistic personality disorders. While schizophrenia is characterized by impaired thinking, perceptual changes, and emotional flattening, psychopathy may explain its emotional coldness and inability to feel compassion for its victims. It is important to remember that mental illness cannot be considered in isolation. Rather, they are the result of a complex interplay of genetic, biological, environmental, and social factors. Elizabeth Bathory's living conditions, her upbringing, and loneliness later in life could have been decisive factors that led to mental illness. The potentially traumatic experiences in Elizabeth's childhood and adolescence should also not be underestimated. If she actually suffered from abuse or psychological distress, this could have led to a repression of her emotions, which eventually manifested itself in violence and manipulation. Her isolation after her husband's death may have opened the wounds of her past and increased her emotional instability. Coupled with this, the pressure to play a role in a patriarchal society may have contributed to the emergence of sadistic traits. The urge to have control and to rise above others may have become a central motive of their assassinations. In addition, we have to look at the social and cultural context. Social norms and expectations of women in the 16th century placed great emphasis on beauty and youth, which led to unbearable pressure for Elizabeth to maintain control over her appearance and power. How did this social expectation influence their image of themselves and of others? These questions aim to fathom the psychological roots of their actions. At the end of this chapter, there remains a sense of urgency caused by the quest for a better understanding of Elizabeth Bathory and the psychological distress that led to her behavior. Their illnesses are at the heart of a complex interrelationship that encompasses both personal and societal dimensions. Chapter 4. Methods of Murder and the Course of Events. Elizabeth Bathory's murders are legendary and winding, riddled with gruesome and bizarre practices that have remained in the memory of many. The examination of these methods and their backgrounds offers deep insights into their psyche. Elizabeth Bathory is accused of murdering a large number of young women, with estimates ranging up to 600 victims. Reports describe that she kidnapped women from the surrounding villages and held them captive in her castle, often under the pretext of offering them work or employment. These women were vulnerable and often vulnerable, which allowed Elizabeth to take advantage of them. The cruel methods she used are terrifying. She is said to have used torture methods ranging from bodily injury to horrific formulations of torture. Blood was reportedly used as a significant element of her murders, with a central idea that she needed the blood of young women to preserve her youth. The use of blood in torture, so the myth goes, served not only the purpose, but also as a self-reinforcement of a power over the women she held captive. The Castle of Cactus, Elizabeth's retreat, became the scene of her atrocities. This isolated environment allowed her to carry out her machinations undisturbed and escape the world. The capture and abuse of their victims was practiced in an environment that was both isolated and characterized by its own set of rules. The darkness of the castle therefore reflects the darkness of its deeds. The atrocities were not only reality, but also myths that have developed over centuries. The reports of various rituals and the alleged use of blood to enrich her sermons lead the legends surrounding Elizabeth Bathory. These stories reflect not only their ritualistic acts, but also society's fears of female violence and power. The perception of Elizabeth Bathory as a kind of monster has endured for generations, but it cannot be completely separated from the psychological and social realities that led to her behavior. In the analysis of their methods, it is also necessary to take into account the cultural climate of their time, which treated women with both respect and suspicion. This chapter focuses on the people who have been overshadowed by Elizabeth's actions. The stories of their harassment lead into a deeper engagement with their victims and shed light on the dimensions of the desperate lives they led. Chapter 5: Societal Reactions. Elizabeth Bathory's actions aroused great interest and concern during her life and beyond. The reactions of the society of the time to their behavior are diverse and reflect a complex mixture of fear, fascination, and the necessary condemnation. At the beginning of the trial of Elizabeth Bathory, many people among the subjects expressed admiration and fear for a powerful woman whom they considered a role model. At the same time, however, they were also shocked and frightened by the reports of their atrocities. This ambivalence has contributed to the creation of legends and made Elizabeth a multi-layered figure of the time. The mistrust and fear of abuse of power, especially by a woman, are core questions in the discussion about Elizabeth Bathory. In a world where women were often pushed to the back of society, their actions became a symbol of what can happen when the balance of the sexes is challenged. Coverage of Elizabeth Bathory was limited at the time, as it is today, but it represented a decisive point in the assessment of her actions. Chroniclers of the time, on whose accounts historians rely, created a picture that was both historical and mythical. The legends that were formed during the defunct Habsburg Empire contributed to the wider perception of Elizabeth. The rapid spread of these stories led to Elizabeth Bathory being seen not only as a criminal, but also as a kind of star of legend making. This constant updating of the public image of Elizabeth Bathory has ultimately helped to further anchor her perception in cultural memory. Elizabeth Bathory remains an example in feminist discussions about violence and gender. The way in which their actions and lives are received in the context of female violence is a topic that continues to be discussed. Her case shows how society treats women who are in positions of power and how emotions and violence are linked in their stories. At the end of this chapter, we will shed light on the dimensions of their role in society and the impact that their actions could have on the perception of violence and gender. Chapter 6: Legal Consequences. The legal ramifications that affected Elizabeth Bathory were both complex and fascinating. Her trial was not only a legal dispute, but also a social event that questioned the power structures of the time and illustrated the treatment of women in the legal system. Elizabeth Bathory was accused in 1610 when there were increasing reports of the murders that took place in her domain. However, due to their noble status, the procedure was characterized by inconsistency and delays. She was not prosecuted in a public indictment, but was largely treated in isolation, which in turn made her power clay. initiating voices protesting against their trials were quickly marginalized in the reporting and the court climate. Elizabeth Bathory had never been tried, and it was often suggested that her conviction was mitigated by the influence of her relatives and the powerful connections of her family. Her case illustrates one of the central issues of her time: the gap between the legal system and the reality of positions of power in the aristocracy. The case against Elizabeth Bathory not only had a profound impact on herself, but also influenced the legal environment for other women. The way in which their actions were prosecuted stimulated reflection on the role of women in the legal system. The question of the extent to which gender and social status influence the legal treatment of criminals remains important to this day. Although Elizabeth's case did not lead to the criminal conviction that many expected, it did help to advance the discussion about the treatment of women in the judiciary. The importance of her case for the development of the legal status, especially in relation to women, is still a source of historical analysis and feminist discussions. The questions surrounding Elizabeth Bathory have also influenced far-reaching cultural and social contexts. According to experts, her case may have influenced perceptions of female violence and the conditions that can lead to such behavior. Her story has not only inspired legends and fictions, but has also influenced awareness of the relationships between power, gender, and law. Therefore, Elizabeth Bathory remains a fascinating example of the challenges faced by women in positions of authority. The chapter concludes with a reflection on the ongoing impact of her case on the legal and cultural understanding of violence and gender. In the conclusion of our podcast, we take stock of the main themes and insights that emerge from the analysis of the life of Elizabeth Bathory. Her story is not only that of a brutal crime, but also that of a multi-layered life marked by power, isolation, psychological stress, and social expectations. A bibliography includes books, articles, and online resources that explore their lives and deeds. Important sources include Elizabeth Bathory, The Blood Countess by Toni Thorne, an in-depth examination of her actions and their impact on society. The Dark History of the Blood Countess by Kimberly Davis also offers an analysis of her legend and social reactions. Articles from professional journals deal with psychological and social aspects of their deeds, as well as historical documentaries that deal with the period of the Hungarian aristocracy and show Elizabeth's place in this period. These and many other sources help to paint a comprehensive picture of Elizabeth Bathory and better understand the context of her actions. Chapter 9, Appendix. In the appendix, there are additional materials that include both visual and documentary elements.
Dir hat dieser Podcast gefallen? Dann klicke jetzt auf Abonnieren und empfehle ihn weiter. Bleib immer auf dem Laufenden und folge uns bei Twitter, Instagram und Facebook. Mehr Podcasts findest du auf meinpodcast.de.